Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
If you're a man in the house, get out your phone. Get out your phone right now. I'm going to invite Pastor Jason up here with me because I really felt like it was important for the father of the house to be up here. Because, listen, this is why I want him to say this. Is because every time we have, like, a woman's event or we have something that involves women, like, as soon as registration is open, it's like full, okay? And women, nice job. But I'm going to tell you something. Men, we need you. God called you to lead your families. God called you to lead the church. God called you to step up, and it is time. And right now, in November, we have this opportunity that is not, like, afforded to everybody. Because when you have to go to a conference, there is not only the conference to pay, there's lodging, there's travel, there's food. And we are hosting a conference right here at Hope City called Impact with powerful speakers from around the country, worship, food, and all it's going to cost you is this registration fee. And today is the last day for early registration. After today, the cost goes up by $20. Pastor Jason, how important is it for
men? It's so important. I want to talk to the women who have husbands in here. If you want a better husband, sign them up for this conference. And make them go. Make them go. Women, come on. Get your men to sign up. Guys, if you have friends, this thing is going to be off the hook. We're going to have a great weekend. We've got lots of fun. We're going to have fun. We have a mechanical bull coming. We've got all kinds of fun stuff that the guys are going to be doing. If you're a fella and you like, we're throwing axes, not at each other, but at the, you know, at the bull. I mean, it's going to be so much fun. Guys, you don't want to miss it. And listen, I want to tell you, put it on your calendar now. Get signed up. You get a free shirt. I mean, all kinds of fun stuff. And it is going to be it's going to be incredible. We have spots for 200, all right? And we're going out around the valley. You might go, that's a lot. It's not really that much. If each of you brought two or three friends with you to hang out, we'd be filled. So it's going to be a great weekend. It's Friday, Saturday. We have a great speaker coming in. He has about 900,000 men on his Facebook account. He reaches men in such a powerful way. So, guys, if you want to be encouraged and challenged, I want to encourage you to sign up right now. Take your phones, get signed up. Don't wait, okay? Let's beat the women. Come on. And wives, get your husband signed up. You'll be happy, I promise
you. And then one other thing.
It's a small cost.
One other thing that's coming up in just a couple of weeks, and I know we're not giving you a lot of turnaround on time on this, because we had to wait to get the okay from the movie theater, correct? Okay, so.
That is correct.
So this coming August 30th, so in two Saturdays, we're having Hope City at the movies here in White City at Crater Lake Cinema at 4 p.m. to see the new released Light of the World movie. Pastor Jason, in like 30 seconds, tell us about
this. It's a 2D animated movie, kind of like Prince of Egypt, and I want to challenge you. Tickets are $5 each, okay? So they're not expensive at all. What I want to challenge, some of you, you could say, hey, I have $100, I'm going to buy tickets for everybody I know and bring them, because it's a great outreach. The gospel message is awesome. How many of you love good family content, right, in the theaters? Well, this is what that is. How many remember when we bought out the best Christmas pageant ever and had, so we're doing it again. This time, though, you get to help us buy the tickets, okay?
Right.
And so buy tickets for your family. There's tickets on sale now. We have limited space, and we want to do this. I think it's going to be a great event, especially if you have kids. We need our kids to have such a great content, and the gospel message is so strong. There's people that will go to a movie before they'll even ever come to church. And so
we just rented out one theater.
Just one theater this time.
One theater, and we didn't rent out the whole place, just one theater. That means we have, like, very limited seats, so buy your tickets, okay?
Yep. Don't miss out. All right.
And the last thing I want to talk to you about, man, Here's what I feel like saying about this part. If you weren't here last Sunday, then you need to go back and listen to the message. Because we talked about what the cost of being a citizen is. And here on earth, we pay, and for our citizenship, we pay taxes. And when we become citizens of heaven, we step into obedience and we give God a tithe. And that tithe goes to the place where you call your home church in order to promote the ministry of the kingdom. And listen, I'm not going to preach whole last week's message, but go back and listen to it. I had somebody text me after the service and be like, Today I became a full citizen of heaven, and I paid my tithe for the first time. And I was like, that's right. Okay? Listen, here's what I know, is when you step into that full citizenship of heaven, God shows up in ways that we can't even comprehend or understand or imagine. We have debts that get paid off. We have bills that get paid. We have money that we didn't know we understood. Our shoes last longer. Our appliances last longer and they don't break down. God shows up and he takes care of his people when we step into obedience with him. There's four ways you can give at Hope City. You can go download the Church Center app. Choose Hope City as your home church. You could do your giving on there. I do that every week. You can write a check or give cash today. As you leave, there's a black box at the back of the worship center and in the back of the lobby. You can go online to do myhopecity.church/give. You can even take an envelope, take it home, fill it out, and then put it in the mail. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for your people. I thank you for the faithfulness of your people. I thank you for how you show up every time I step out in faith. You have never let me down, and you never will, because that's who you are. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad to be here this morning. I'm Pastor Jason. If I haven't met you yet, I'm not a guest at church, I promise. All right? You might not have seen me for a couple weeks. Whenever I'm out, I'm working on projects and ministering in other churches. So just so you know, be praying for me because I really appreciate it. But I'm so glad you're here. Listen, we're getting ready to step into a new season. How many of you love fall? Like, I love fall, right? Like, we're battling not to decorate right now. Paul is like, not till September 1st. And Avi and I are like, let's do it now. Come on. We want fall. But new seasons mean we get to create new patterns in our life, right? When you step into a new season. And so one of the things the Lord really has been speaking to me about to challenge you on is in this area of giving. You're stepping into a new season. Fall is a new season. And I believe that if you've not given before, you'd say, God, I'll give you 90 days and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step out and do something. Whatever you asked me to do, you are going to see an incredible harvest at the beginning of 2026. All right? Can you believe that? 2026. I want to say, put it into practice for 90 days. It's the area that God says you can trust me in, and I'm really going to double dog dare you to do it, to step out. Like, when September 1st hits, like, okay, I'm working on my budget right now for this next month. If you don't have a budget, you need to get a budget. All right? You'll be shocked at where you spend your money at. Get a budget and say, okay, for September, October, November, I'm going to tithe. And it might be 1%. It might be 3%. It might be 5%. Whatever God puts on your heart, ask him. Say, God, okay, in this next 3 months, what do you want to do in my finances? How many of you are believing God for a great harvest in 2026 when it comes to your finances? Okay? So we step out and we trust him. We put the seed in the ground first, and then God's able to grow it. And I want to say that in the area of serving too. Like, this is a great time to step up and use your talents for the kingdom. To say, God, I want to get involved. I want to serve. There's three things we encourage you to do here at Hope City to have all that God has for you. Show up on Sundays, find a place to serve, and get to be a part of a life group. Those three things. So what's your next step? And when we come to new seasons, I always love to encourage and challenge people. Okay, God, what's my next step? What next do you want me to do? And it's so important and vital. So, hey, well, this morning we're starting a new series called Boot Camp. All right? And this series is very challenging. It's going to be something that's very challenging, especially today. In the military, boot camp is where recruits are transformed, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. I've never been before. But I have been through God's boot camp. I can promise you that. All right? Because God has a boot camp, too, that he puts people through. All right? Boot camp breaks you down and then builds you back up again. And this next couple of weeks, I don't know if you've known, but Matthew, this book of Matthew, it's like we've been in a boot camp for the last couple of years, I feel like. This book is deep, and it's life-changing, and it's challenging, okay? This idea of Jesus taking us into a boot camp is what he did with the disciples. He was preparing them for a mission, the most important mission in history. But before they could lead and they could follow Jesus, they must be reshaped. Before they can fight for the kingdom, they must unlearn the world's definition of greatness and learn what the kingdom's definition of greatness is. And guess what? Here's what it's going to take, guys. When we step up and we say, God, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to be all that you have for me. You know what the first thing God's going to do is, great, empty yourself. Yeah. Come on. That's right. Die to the flesh. Die to self. Right? I'm telling you, this is challenging. Because God comes along. Jesus comes along and says, hey, you want to be a follower of me? Empty yourself. Which goes counter-cultural to the world that we live in. Because the world says, live for yourself. Whatever truth that you have is truth. Like, truth is relative depending on how you feel. And here's what I want to tell you about that line of thinking. It leads to destruction. You wonder why people are stressed out and worried today? Because they're living for themselves. It's like they're on this hamster wheel that they can never attain what they're hoping to attain because they're living for themselves. We live in a very selfish age that's all about self and not about the kingdom. And Jesus says, okay, all right, you want to be a part of this kingdom? Empty yourself. Start thinking different. And it's a process. This is a process of emptying yourself. And I want to tell you something. Our flesh fights against God. That's what it is. That's what the battle is, right? Our flesh fights against what God is calling us to do because it requires us to step out of our comfort zone. It requires us to learn a new way. It requires us to think differently. It requires us not to be selfish. We are selfish by nature. If you want to know that, look at a little one-year-old, right? From the moment that they're born, they're selfish. We've got to fight against that selfishness because that selfishness leads to destruction. And it literally is the way we think. And I think that's so important to stop and say, okay, God, empty me so that I can become all that you have for me. Empty me out of my thoughts and my history and all the things I think about. Lord, help me to follow Jesus. Believers must empty themselves from self. You can't serve both Jesus and self. There only can be one person on the throne of your life. You can't have a foot in both worlds. Who's on the throne of your life? Is it yourself? Do you call the shots? Or do you stop and say, God, what do you want? Lord, that's the kind of posture that we've got to get into to empty ourselves of ourselves. And here's what I want you to know, because the world says, oh man, it's all about you. Just fill yourself up. It's all about self, self, self. It leads to destruction. It leads to unhappiness. It leads to unfulfillment. And I want to tell you, if you're sitting in this room today and you feel unfulfilled, start looking at who rules your life. And you might go, ouch, Pastor. No, it's the truth. And we all struggle with it. We all struggle with this idea of letting self rule our life. You must say the word fully. Say it, fully. What does fully mean? Fully, everything, all of it. You must fully surrender self to Jesus and let him direct your life. That's what becoming a follower of Christ is. That's what the disciples learned in the book of Matthew. It wasn't just lip service. It was, God, I'm surrendering all. And Jesus came along to the disciples, and he even stopped them and he said, follow me. If there was any kind of hesitation, he'd go, no, just stay where you're at. We're going to keep moving, right? Let's not have any hesitation. When Jesus comes along and says, hey, follow me, let's say, okay. Jesus was so clear that you have to give yourself up to follow him. Matthew 10:39, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Let that sink in right now. You will find life if you give up you. You'll find the best version of you if you'll give up you. It's a major battle, especially in our world today. We are trained from a young age to be selfish and self-centered. Everywhere we look, this idea of self is reinforced. Self-help, self-protection, self-reliance, self-denial, self, 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 self. Everywhere we look, we live in a consumer mentality where, oh, you need this to be whole. You need all of this stuff. And what does that leave you? Empty. How many of you ran after all this stuff, and you found out what's at the end of that path? Empty. And you keep having to run after it again and again and again. And what I want you to know is if you will empty yourself out, you'll never be empty again. The sin nature that we're born with, and yes, we are born with a sin nature. I heard somebody the other day go, oh, that just sounds so terrible. It's reality, folks. We're born with a sin nature. It keeps us from following Jesus. Living for yourself is the default option for every person in this world today. It means that unless something happens to bring about a change in our lives, we end up living for self. The bottom line is, and I've said it, you are either living for self or you're living for Jesus. That's why I want to tell you something. When you say yes to Jesus, it's not just saying a prayer and coming to an altar. I want to challenge you. It's surrendering everything to him. We used to sing a song, I surrender all. Remember that? When's the last time you've heard that in church? Because people don't like to surrender all. God, I'm good with giving you 90%, but the final 10, that's why I'm not on the worship team. I don't really sing. I sing, but not in a good, I mean, you don't want to hear it, all right? The result, and I want you to hear me closely, the result for living for yourself is misery and exhaustion. When self rules the throne of your life, it refers to living a life driven by your own desires, your own ambitions, your ego, prioritizing personal autonomy over everything else. It can manifest as self-reliance, stubbornness, or focusing on personal gain, even when it conflicts with others' well-being or spiritual guidance. In America, you know what we say? Well, it's my right. Well, I have a right to open up my mouth and yell at everybody. I have rights. Okay, keep living for self. In the kingdom, you live differently. And you find yourself. You find life. You find incredible blessing. You cannot serve two masters, your own will or God's will. When you are the ultimate authority in your life, there's no room for God's guidance, purposes, or his loving plans to take precedence. You know how I know who's the authority in your life? Just listen to what you have to say. Well, the Bible's old-fashioned. I don't have to listen to any of that stuff. It was written 2,000 years ago. They don't know culture like culture is today. Like, listen to what's coming out of your mouth. And that's what the disciples had to do. Jesus said, stop and listen to what's coming out of your mouth. I love you so much, guys. I'm so glad that I'm here today and get to share this with you. But I'm excited because if we get a hold of this, it's where our self ends and God's able to step in and we're able to see his plans for our life. To follow Jesus, you have to make a conscious choice and decision to put God's purposes and his plans at the center of your life. It is no longer what you want, it's what he wants. And so when you put this filter on of saying, God, every decision I have to make, I'm taking it to your feet first. It doesn't matter how it affects me. I want to know what you think, God. I want to know what your blessing is. I want to know what your purpose is. That's where we're going to find God's blessing and favor. If you have promises that God's given in your life, the more that you relinquish control and let him take control, that's when the promises are going to start to flow. Could you be standing in the way of God's promises in your life because you won't give up control? Have you forgotten God's promises because you haven't given up control? God has promises for every one of you in this room. And when you give up control, he will take you to the place that he's promised you. See, Christianity is not just something you do on Sunday morning. It's a lifestyle change. It's how you live. Listen, you come here to get fired up to go out and live Monday through Saturday the way God's called you to live. It's a lifestyle change. It's a mindset change. When you're living for yourself and full of yourself, even how you hear God's voice can be affected. Self can become the filter that we run through everything through in our lives. How's it going to affect me? What's it going to do to me? Like, what's it going to do? Like, am I going to lose my finances? Like this idea of self, it's always about self-protection and self-reliance. God speaks and we delay obedience. We disobey because we're filtering everything through the filter of self. I've said it, I'm going to say it again. Delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. Oh God, well, let me think. I know you're calling me to do something, but I'm going to write my list of pros and cons. God, just a minute. I know you're asking me a lot. I got to see if I can do this. Like, okay, I'm going to rationalize this because I'm a rational person. Okay, God, I have plan A, B, C, and D. In case you don't come through, and B, I've got C. I've got it all under control for you. You just follow my way and do it. It's all going to be okay. In the kingdom, there's only plan A. There's only one way. And if you will follow him, you're going to see him show up. The filter of self means that you're filtering God's voice through your own biases, your assumptions, your experiences, your desires, your insecurity, your unforgiveness. The filter of self significantly impacts how we listen to God and perceive his voice. Is that the reason you can't hear him? Because here's the truth. God wants to speak to everybody in this room. And if you'll listen, and I'm praying not only that he speaks, but it's high def. That you're hearing God at a completely different level. Listen, you can't afford perception to become a reality. How you see things. We got to be willing to empty ourselves for God to fill us with his power and his presence. You have to be willing to lay down pride, control, and self-importance. Oh, I said the P word. Jesus invites his followers on a journey of discipleship that can be seen as a spiritual boot camp, designed to help us to deny our self-centered desires and align his will with our will. It's a process. It's an everyday decision to die to your flesh. It's an everyday decision to say, Jesus, I want to be more like you. Jesus, I want to follow you even more. God, I want to be your follower. That's what a Christian means, is a Christ follower. And my question to you is, who are you following? Is it yourself or Jesus? Take yourself off the throne of your life and put God on the throne. Who's your master? Is it yourself or God? It's important to evaluate and be honest with yourself. Who is my master? And I want to tell you, self is an evil taskmaster. Because you're never going to measure up to self. You're never going to have enough. It's when you put your trust in Jesus that you'll have enough, that you'll see his plan versus your plan. It's a process that Jesus wants to take us on. God uses difficulties and challenges in our lives to form us and build us into the people that God wants us to be. You might be walking through difficult times, and you might think it's an attack of the enemy, but I want to tell you something. It might be God trying to form you and shape you into the person that he's calling you to be. Because how many of you know, when it's easy, we don't tend to become desperate. When it's hard, and we feel pressed on every side, and we're like, God, where are you on this? And he said, I'm right in the middle of it, and I'm trying to turn you into who I want you to be. I want to be very clear. God doesn't cause things, but he definitely uses things in our lives. If you say, Jesus, I want to join your boot camp, get ready. And that's what all of us need to say. This is a process that Jesus wants to take every believer on. It's the process of becoming spiritually mature. And I can promise you this, if you're living for yourself, and I've said it again, and I'm going to say it again, you're going to be miserable. You'll never be fulfilled. And that's what Jesus offers us. Another part of boot camp is it's important that soldiers voluntarily sign up for it. Nobody forces them to do it. And God's the same way. He's not going to force you to do it. You can stay right where you're at. You can stay miserable, you can stay tired, you can stay exhausted, or you can say, okay, God, I'm ready to jump in. I'm ready to jump into your boot camp. I may not even know what it looks like, but start to empty me of myself. And he's going to give you opportunity, I promise. And it will change your life. It's what he did with the disciples. He's not going to force you to do anything. But what I can tell you is in the Christian life, Jesus looks for people who are willing to go through boot camp to be broken down of self so that Jesus can build you back up into everything he has for you. It's truly the best thing that can happen to us. You're no longer slaves to self. If you live for yourself, you're a slave to the self, to yourself. But if you'll say, God, take my life. Take every aspect of it. I'm yours. You're going to become the best version of yourself when you jump into it. Here's what I love. Jesus will take ourself. If we allow him to take ourself, he will. And the good news is he's never going to leave you empty. He's going to fill you back up with all the good stuff that he has for you. If you empty yourself, God will fill you with something that the world cannot give. His presence, his peace, his power. You won't just be ready for fight, but you're going to be ready for victory. In the book of Matthew, we come to this portion of scripture. I'm going to go pretty quick here. Matthew 16, 1 through 6. And this gives us a picture of the disciples' battle. It actually came out of their mouth. And it shows that they were used to living for themselves. Because living for themselves is not just new for today. It's been a battle since humans came on this earth, right? And so the disciples, and you might go, well, of course, they're the disciples. Well, what are you then? All of us are disciples. It means followers of Christ. So listen to what they had to say. Matthew 18, 1 through 6 said this, about the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Okay, here we go. Jesus called a little child to him, and he put the child among them. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Matthew 18, this whole chapter, is the portion of the scripture about boot camp where Jesus dealt with principles and attitudes that should mark his people as they get along with each other. In our portion of scripture, Jesus lays out the basis of what he's trying to accomplish in our lives. And it's one word, it's humility. Being humble. Some of us, we think pride is such a good thing. Well, man, my family name, we're just so proud of it. Like, I mean, we spent a whole month in June celebrating pride, which is, I mean, I sit there and I go, pride, like literally, pride comes before what? Fall. Why would we celebrate pride in our lives or anywhere else? Humility is the key. Humility is indeed a key to experiencing God's blessing and seeing great things happen in our lives. Humility means that we recognize our dependence on God and we strive to live a life that reflects God's love, grace, rather than seeking personal glory. If we are full of ourselves, we're full of pride. But when we empty ourselves out, humility happens. And it only happens when we stop living for ourselves and we start living for Jesus completely. I'm going to share you three things that Jesus called the disciples out in this portion of scripture. First of all, the question revealed the disciples' hearts. Right? Because what comes out of your mouth reveals what's in your heart. So in this portion of scripture, the disciples asked Jesus this telling question, who's the greatest? It was like, I'm sure they had arguments like, I'm greater than you. I'm greater than you. Like, I can speak better than you. I can do this. Like, that was the argument going on. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Matthew 18, 1 marks a turning point in the Gospel of Matthew where the disciples, after observing Jesus' power and teaching, ask him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It was this jockeying for position. It was pride, right? It wasn't humility. The question reveals their worldly understanding of status and power, which Jesus then challenges them by teaching them about humility and the nature of the kingdom of God. What is coming out of your mouth? What kind of questions? What do you hear yourself saying right now? Because that's a good idea of where you're at in this process of letting go of self. It was a human question. I'm sure that behind the scenes, the disciples were arguing and they were talking about this, but self was on full display. They were thinking like the world thought. The disciples were picturing the kingdom of God like a political structure, but Jesus says it's nothing like that. See, because the kingdom of God is upside down. You want to be great in the kingdom, then what do you have to become? A servant. Small. You want God to do incredible things in your life? It's done by humility. Oh yeah, my graphics say 16. It should be 18. I'm hearing that from the crow's nest in the back. It's 18. 18. 1-8. All right, if you got your Bibles, that's where we're at. The boot camp truth is that Jesus is teaching that in God's army, rank is measured by humility, not hierarchy. Right? So we're thinking, okay, God, like humility is the key. And you know what? When you start to look at it from a humility point of view, Lord, help me to be humble. Help me to put others first. It's not about positioning yourself or trying to pry your way to the top. This goes completely against the world's way of thinking. And I want to tell you something. In your business, in your life, wherever you're at, let God elevate you. You don't have to do it. So guess what? Some of you who are trying to pry your way to the top, and if I only had this job, and if I only had that job, and I could get that promotion, give yourself a break. Because God's already working on your behalf. Well, what's going to happen with my contracts? Well, what's, God, in 6 months, and I battle this too. What's going to happen? Am I going to have work? Of course you are, because Jesus is on the throne of your life, and he said he's going to provide for you. So stop being worried about it. What? Shh. No comments from the front row. All right. You can tell the disciples where their heart, you could tell where their hearts were by the questions they were asking. Take some time to evaluate what's coming out of your mouth and your thinking process. It'll tell you a lot about where you're at in emptying of yourself, and that gives you a good clue of what's happening in your life. Listen, we never arrive. I want you to hear this. It's a constant waking up in the morning. God, I'm dying to myself. I want to empty myself. What are you going to do today, God? Help me out. Point number two, become like a child. This is not talking about you running around acting immature. This is talking about having humility and being like a child. Jesus gave the disciples an object lesson on what dependency and humility looks like. When Parker and Huddy come running up to us, they never have to wonder if their needs are going to be met. Because they know if they can get to Pop-Up, they can get anything they want. Right? If they can get to me, they got it, all right? How many of you know, grandparents in the room, you know what I'm talking about. Your little grandkids come up, like we call Parker Lala, and she comes up with her big eyes, and she's like, Pop-Up Slurpee. Okay, where, when, let's go. Whatever you want. I FaceTime her, and she goes, Pop-Up, I love you. Oh, my word, you can have the world, girl. Matthew 18, 2 through 5 says, Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And anyone who welcomes a little child on my behalf is welcoming me. That's why Hope City, we're a place that will always have space for kids. They will always be important to us. That's why we're talking about building onto our building to give our kids space, our kids and youth. They are number one priority because when we welcome them, we welcome Christ. Jesus brings a child over to the disciples, and a child was not a symbol of power. Children exhibit some amazing kingdom principles in their lives. They know they need help. They trust easily. They're worry and carefree. They're forgiving and they hold short accounts. They know that their needs are going to be met. They love to run into your arms and just hug and just be in your presence. Jesus says, unless you change and become like this, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. And that's not just adjustment. That's a complete surrender to say, God, I trust you. God, I give you everything I'm walking through. We're called to have a childlike heart and a viewpoint. We're called to say, God, I trust you no matter what it looks like. I have that trust that you're going to take care. The world's issues, like Parker and Huddy, they don't know anything about what's going on in the world. They just trust. How about we put our blinders on and say, God, I just trust you. I'm not going to look at what I see, but I want to be childlike. I want to have this heart that completely depends on you. And at the same point, don't use that as an excuse to not become spiritually mature. Well, I'm just a child in Jesus. No, become mature. Become like a child that's not growing and stays two for their whole life, that's not spiritual maturity, and that kid would drive you crazy. All right, so we keep growing. Point number three, when it comes to this idea of boot camp and why we need it, is the seriousness of influence. Well, I'm not influencing anybody. Everybody in this room is influencing somebody. Whether you got kids, whether you're coworkers at work, you're influencing somebody. Jesus reminded them, you are influencing somebody. You have to be careful of how you use this influence. That's why boot camp is so important. You're not going to be able to go, well, Jesus, I was so worried and like I was so filled with anxiety that I led my kids down the wrong direction. Lord, you just don't understand. No, the serious, each one of us have influence. And what Jesus is talking about is new believers too. When new believers are in your life, if you cause them to stumble, here's what scripture says. Matthew 18, 6. If you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. I didn't write it, but it should keep us up at night. This portion of scripture is eye-opening. Well, Jesus just is all about love, and it's just all about kumbaya. It's all about grace. Put that scripture back up. If you cause somebody to stumble, there's a judgment that comes along with that. Every one of us, you might go, well, who am I influencing? If you cause somebody to leave that's a new believer and lose their faith, or you twist it. That's why we got to be rid of ourselves. Every one of us has influence. And the scripture has so many applications. It's a warning to parents, leaders, new believers, pastors, seasoned believers. Well, I just had to talk to that person about what was going on at church. I just had to share, like, my opinion and what I saw happening. And they blow out of here and they lose their faith. We got to empty ourselves of self. It's not about me. It's about him. Jesus uses his teaching about humility and the serious consequences of leading others, especially who are new to faith, into sin. For this reason, believers, we got to keep our eyes on our actions. We need to be asking ourselves, Jesus, are you emptying me out so I can lead other people to Jesus? Or am I leading away from Jesus? This is a boot camp moment. We have to empty ourselves so you don't lead others astray. Jesus emphasizes that receiving a child or someone with childlike humility is akin to receiving Jesus himself, while causing a believer to stumble is a grave offense punishable by severe consequences. If God has given you any kind of influence in the kingdom, it's vital that you remember the scripture. Every one of us has influence. That's what Jesus was saying to the disciples at this moment. So how do you empty yourself? It's a process. Release your needs to always be first. Let God define your worth. Some of us, we're trying to make ourselves so worthwhile. Like, if I do, then people are going to want me. Maybe you've grown up that way, where you always had to perform to be wanted. In God's kingdom, he wants you without you doing anything. Trusting him completely, even when you don't understand the plan, that's part of emptying yourself out. And Jesus will give you many opportunities in his boot camp to put these ideas into practice. There's some daily boot camp drills that you can do to empty yourself. You ready? First of all, start your day surrendered before your to-do list. Tell God, this day is yours, and I will serve you with all that I have. Every day, serve where no one sees. Humility grows in hidden obedience. Celebrate others' wins. When there's people that are winning, celebrate their victories. Ask for help. Dependence on God and others is a kingdom strength, not a weakness. Trust God no matter what. It's time we empty ourselves and become all that God has for us. Let's bow.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.